Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am very honored to present the one, the only, Astrid. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings and welcome, Hercules. Here we are, new month and a new season approaching, more transitions.
Yes, indeed. There have been many transitions, not all of them negative, I must say. The gigs that I do, all of a sudden, I have to turn down work, which is quite a change from the most of the past 2 years of the pandemic.
Exactly. You're starting to see a shift away from having to be so mindful of everything. Not that we should forget, because sanitary measures always protected me when
yes.
I was teaching 1,000 kids a week, let me tell you. And now you're a little more mindful, and when should you wear the mask, when should you use sanitizer, when should you not be in a huge group, and if you're going to do it, to protect yourself whatever means possible afterwards, you know, whether it be your vitamins, upping your oils, if you're into the essential oils, you know, which I am, and has kept me healthy. I better knock on wood, because the minute you say something. But and we are having another booster coming out, and it's up to people to decide whether it benefits them or not. I just got into a discussion with a friend of mine about all the different things that are, I don't want to say pushed, that are recommended to you in terms of the flu, pneumonia shots, particularly when you get to be either very, very young, under a certain age, or I'm not going to say the other word, over a certain age, that they look to protect you. But it comes down to being mindful of your healthy habits, what you do, where you have to go, and make the decision based on your activities and your health. No one knows your health better than you.
Very true, and I tend to play it safe because I'm not the only person in my immediate sphere. I have other people, so I need to be mindful of their health.
Sure.
I'm up to date with the shots. I'm up to date with the boosters. I still wear a mask on most of my excursions out of the house. I only go out when I need to. And I try to keep social distance as much as possible. I was at a community night the other night, and it was outdoors, and it had just rained, and I didn't expect the table where I was sitting and talking to people to be very busy all night. So I didn't wear a mask, but it's very rare that I don't wear the mask when I go outside.
Right, and you brought up a very valid point. If you're living with a lot of people, and particularly older people or children, you have to be very mindful. I read a study and research done on the pneumonia vaccine, and they were saying that the numbers have gone down for elders because of the fact that younger children are getting the shot, and they found that the pneumonia was being passed on, whether it be viral or bacterial, because it can be both, and was being passed on by little children due to close proximity to older family members, and that the numbers have gone way down. So, again, you have to look at, see the situation in terms of, like, how many people you expose to. Are they young children? Are they older adults? Are you in a situation where you're being in close contact with many, as I said, as teaching and being with 1,000 kids, you know, for teaching art, that I did a lot of things to protect myself, but I did not take the flu vaccine because every time I took it, I got it early in my career. So I decided, enough of this.
That happened.
And of course, it's amazing, Hercules. And my dad as well, because there are certain things that are hereditary. It's not just, certain aversions or certain things that we seem to be that we lean more to in terms of physical problems And as we age, the different things that are inherited that we've seen our grandparents have, that we now have, and yes, you can take care of it with the environmental factors, the way you eat and supplements, but in the end, that is going to be your nemesis. You know?
Yep.
And so you're aware of that, and you do things accordingly. So here we are. The last time we were together, we talked about the transitions of the new moon and the beginning of the Lion's Gate portal in August and all the different unexpected news and sudden changes that were going to happen, questions that came to us in terms of old habits and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do in terms to make growth, whether it be spiritual, personal, or material? And then, of course, the trine with Jupiter, which was allowing for expansion. All this energy and the opening of that portal meant we have to be grounded in order to handle all that energy. And we talked about Lammas, which was the very first harvest, talking about our agricultural society, which we still, especially in Sussex County, we are so, all of our activities are determined by the weather and by the harvests, particularly up here. So now we're seeing the equinox coming upon us, which is going to be 9/22/22. And that is considered the point when we achieve perfect balance. Day and night are equal. The sun crosses the equator, going from north to south for us, and where it is equal that day, supposedly not perfectly equal, but afterwards, the days will be shorter and the nights will be longer. And it will occur at 9:03, some say 9:04 in the Northern Hemisphere, Eastern Standard Time. And at one point it marked the calendar of the start of the new year, which is interesting because this is the balance, and now we're going to begin more dark, less light. So we know it marks the beginning of autumn, and it lasts until the winter solstice, when the sun starts to make its journey back a little bit, and each day a minute more of light, and the equinox splits Earth's day in half, giving us 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime, moonlight, I like to say, or starlight, because up here you really appreciate the darkness in the area because the constellations show themselves, the moon is just so vivid. As long as you can get past the huge trees and the mountains, it's amazing. It's a light show. It's beautiful.
Here where we are, there's still a lot of glare from New York City, in Greece and Italy, when I've gone there, it's like a blanket of diamonds, the sky. It's dark, and there are like all these lights, and you could clearly make out the constellations, and it's beautiful.
Oh, it's stunning. And it's an astronomical event because the sun is crossing what we call the celestial equator. It's an imaginary extension of the Earth's equator line into space. And we have the autumnal equinox, where we're losing a minute of daylight each day, whereas the southern hemisphere is the opposite way. They have the vernal equinox, and they have 1 minute more each day of sunlight. It's also a cultural event, and we've seen that with the full moon, which is the closest to the autumnal equinox. We just had it on the 10th. It rises just about sunset. I thought this was so interesting. It rises just about sunset, and it provided farmers with extra light. The angle and the tilt of the earth allowed for this extra light so they could finish their harvesting. Normally, the moon rises about an hour later each night, but during this period, several days, it rises 20 to 30 minutes later for about, I think, four nights in a row. So that's amazing. So it's astronomical, it's scientific, it's cultural, because all of our ancestors way back then in the during the agricultural society depended on that harvest moonlight, therefore why it's called the harvest moon, and so they could get their final crops of the second harvest in safe storage and to celebrate, because usually there was a big bonfire and using the element of fire, celebrating Earth and what the Earth's bounty has done. It's also a moment of apprehension, because you're all celebrating together, and this is the last time when you're going to have that sun, because after this, the third harvest, which is Samhain, and you start getting towards what people know as Halloween, but it's a final harvest, and it also is a celebration all throughout the world of ancestors, celebrating our ancestors, sharing for the long winter that's going to come ahead, and hoping that we're grateful for what the Earth has given us, and to give gifts to the Earth so that there will be a bountiful harvest once the seeds are planted. And again, it's external and internal. It's who is going to be left after winter? Who are we going to see, and who is going to pass on and become one of our ancestors? And also going inward to ourselves, you know, making changes. You know, we think about, oh, the winter being inside more, or the New Year's Eve resolution. You know, the whole point of starting to think about what we need to put past us, like we do with the full moon, what worked, what didn't work, and what are we going to change in our life to make it more productive, more spiritual, more physically conducive to our health? So transitions again.
I discovered doing ancestor work, and there are a few books published in a row on ancestor work last year. So there's a lot of books on ancestor work, but because I'm an unusual person, you know, I guess you can say I'm eccentric. I don't feel I'm like my family in very many ways. But after doing the ancestor work, I discovered how like them I actually am. And even though I thought that I'd progressed far beyond the programmed reality of my cultures, I actually hadn't. So that was a very strange revelation. And I also became aware of something, maybe ancestral memory, because there were some things I believed to be true as a kid that I would verbalize all the time. And they weren't true according to the information that we had when I was a kid. But subsequently, archaeology has proved some of the things I've been saying. So there too, the only way it could have survived was through the genetic structure of my family, or by ancestors coming and visiting me while I'm sleeping or something like that to explain it. But since then, I've been exploring all the forces that shaped me and seeing how much of me is actually taken from there.
Right, and you're going back to your ancestral line, and it's also karmic, family karmic. Your lifetimes, your family lineage, going way back. You know, what existed in your past lives? What do you become aware of? You know, maybe the things that you feel so deeply within your DNA are not just intuition. They're memories that have been embedded. And I know I have so many as a child, and some of them made no sense to me. But then as I got older, all of a sudden you have those aha moments when you say to yourself, well, no wonder I feel so tied to this. And no wonder I have this affinity and closeness with the Pleiades or certain cultures. And I would read books about them. I could never get enough books. It wasn't until much later, I'd say in my 50s, where things started to reveal themselves. And again, you just have to be open to the universe. And the universe decides when you're ready for it. You know, the DNA is amazing. It's not just your parents or just, a few ancestors down the road. It goes way back, way, way back. So it's interesting. And then we see these changes in the weather, how it affects the crops, how they grow, the activities change, as do the leaves, thanks to photosynthesis, which is to reduce sunlight, notifies the trees to stop gathering energy, and get ready for the dormant season. So, yeah, it's amazing. Nature, and we're a part of it, just one part. You know, the chlorophyll is responsible for absorbing sunlight. The quirky cells multiply. They seal off the vessels that provide the leaf with nutrients and water. They block the vessels to some extent and trap simple sugars. And therefore, the green color that masks the other colors due to chlorophyll steps aside, and we get the vibrancy, the colors that we see up here in Sussex County that are just so amazing.
Yeah, Sussex is beautiful, and it's amazing how many activities they have out there.
It's unbelievable.
It's not densely populated,
and,
yet it has
I always say to myself, you know, it's internal and external, and we'll get to that in a bit. But,
okay. Yeah,
it's amazing. And, again, as an agricultural society, farmers would celebrate the second harvest. They would store the food away, prepare for the final crops of the season, because then they plant other ones, the last ones. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Celts were very, very big with celebrating this time of the year with the resting of the labor after the harvest. The Nordic people did as well. The Norse celebrated the equinox with fire, spirits of nature, to invoke survival. You know, think of those cold winter nights up there. And they prayed to the ancestors, asked for soil to provide better crops. And what you take, you give back. And you're always supposed to give gifts to the land. And, of course, they would share the mead within a horn and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And basically you hear the word Maybon. There's a lot of discrepancy. Oh, what is it, a pagan holiday? Is it, related to witchcraft? There's all these different concepts. But Maybon came from, the Celts and Modred. And you look at it the way you want to look at it. You want to use that word, you use the word. But again, it is an agricultural celebration. And, of course, there's always the Druids, who would celebrate, and they would use celebration to honor the green man, the god of the forest, and they offered libations to the trees, and I'm sure to each other. So there we go. But it's about equilibrium, and that day we take to acknowledge balance, you know, to acknowledge the balance of, you know, plus and minus, male, female, night, day, outward, inward, because then we're going to settle within, be very introspective, you know, make your transitions for the cold weather, whether it be outwardly, physically, or inwardly, you know. So there we go. We adjust to our new surroundings, whether it be the weather, the food, or the activities.
Wow. And appropriately, my next talk that I'm giving in Branchville, it's about the Amazons of Greek mythology.
Wow.
And how our roles, you know, in terms of sexual roles and gender roles, how much is that real and how much of it is culturally determined? Because the Amazons were kind of like the direct opposite of the patriarchal Greeks in the mythology. Archaeology, again, showed us that they actually did exist, pretty much where the ancient author said they existed. So that's the deeper question we'll be wrestling with next time we all get together.
Right. That's going to be interesting because we've seen such a pendulum swing in this country in terms of, and I'm thinking of the 50s, whereas it became so patriarchal, and, you know, in terms of the older white male being in control, and it changed so drastically in between, and now we see a little bit of a, well, not really, Lily, but we see a pendulum swing back the other way to a bit of the 50s, where you've seen the changes in, and again, the disparities that exist amongst the states. We've talked about that, where in some states there isn't a problem, in other areas there is a definite change of the laws thanks to the Supreme Court decision. you know, with women's health and abortion. There are some areas where businesses have decided on their own, the employers, that they don't have to cover birth control. Well, of course, that's going to affect...
It's going to affect millions of people.
Of course, and the workload in terms of women trying to survive and feed their children. And then there are other situations where some states have gone so far to be as extremist as saying not even to consider these things, even for the life of the mother, or, you know, incestuous rape and horrible situations, you know. So, again, you know, we've seen some changes, and I can only hope that the pendulum swings somewhere where we find a mid-ground and we start looking at one another in terms of capabilities, not male and female. If you're capable to do the job, why shouldn't you be paid the exact amount of money to do that job? So very, 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 very bizarre times. But again, we hope for transitions there too. Now, we've talked about how activities are so plentiful, but they are even more so up here in northern New Jersey, thanks to all the farms and the crops and the land formations. I mean, you've seen tons of corn. Now when you drive up, you have all the corn mazes. This is a time when there's tons of apple picking, apple cider donuts, hay rides. The different farm stands are still out there, you know, bursting with the local produce, which I love. You know, I love being able to shop locally. We have different farms, you know, to name a few. Besides the little farm stands, we have Beamerville Orchards. We have Majestic Farms. We have Anderson Farms, which is right on Route 15, Sparta. Heaven Hill Farms in Vernon. Windy Brow Farms in Freedom. Hillcrest Farms, Branchville. Tranquility Farms in Andover. That's just a few of them. And so you can go buy your fresh apples. You can actually go pick apples in some farms. You know, fresh apple cider is squeezed. Those donuts are treacherous, let me tell you. They are treacherous. They're that good. Unbelievable. So there's some things that will say, well, you know, it's seasonal. They won't be around forever. Maybe I can have just one. There also is a place up here, I think it's in, I have to find the location of this place. It's one of the largest sunflower mazes going, well, I think it's through all of September, and it is, like, unbelievable. It is the largest sunflower maze on the East Coast. It's a 50-acre farm. It's on 101 County Road 645 in Sandyston. During the weekends, adults are $20, kids are $10, under 3, free. Weekdays, $10 for adults, kids 6. It's family run. If you want to find more information, it's 833-786-6293. It's Raj Sinha at hotmail.com. I'm going to pass all this info on to our listeners because these are things that so many activities. Now, I am not sure with that particular sunflower maze and farm how long that goes, and I would suggest that people check it out and look into it. But the apples, and then again, with the equinox and the Maybon season, all the festivals that happened way back when, the apple was a very important fruit. You know, they would cut it open and look at that center and see the star. And people say, well, what's the star about? It's a pentagram. It's this, it's that. No. The star is a symbol for the elements. You have the elements of nature. You have your north, which is the earth. You have your south, which is fire. You have your east, which is air. Your west, which is water. And in the center is the heart. That is spirit and unconditional love. So it's so beautiful, that symbolism, that when you look into it, that people have a reverence of nature right within that food that's being offered. It's beautiful.
Wow. All that is just, I'm sure, a tip of the iceberg of all the things happening in Sussex County.
And that's just one thing. And then I'm going to mention a few things that are happening in September and a little bit in October. But last weekend, I went to the Sparta Renaissance Fair, which is located in Camp Sacagawea, 844 White Lake Road, Sparta, New Jersey. Tickets are $10 and $20, 20 for adults, 10 for kids, 6 to 12, under 6 free. It is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. We have another weekend. So James does this for 2 weekends. And I will honor him by calling him King James with his Queen Nishka. He is amazing. Camp Sacagawea, for those that are not aware, is a camp located in Sparta. It's 200 acres. It is so beautiful. He has retained the natural landscape. No macadam. It is absolutely stunning, and there's all these different paths leading to different open-air fields. The events are amazing. He has a lake there that is stunning. You can go for rides. It is, I was so excited to be back there. The excitement that you can feel there as they welcome you and you enter is amazing. And these people that do this are all volunteers.
Wow.
They love doing this. Some of them are with the LARPing group that James has there, you know, with Knight's Realm. If you go to Knight's Realm, you will actually, online, you will find out how James Kimball works this LARPing, so that when you see the actual jousting tournaments and different tournaments, these people are very adept because they practice this, and they do LARPing all throughout the year. He has so many activities, it's mind-blowing, and they're different. So besides the actual jousting and hand-to-hand combat with swords and different weapons, and it's done very humorously, I have to say, the humor is amazing. He has lessons for children on the side for, you know, archery, throwing axes, and believe me, very safely done. Falcons there. He has a couple other things there. There was one thing that was interesting. It was take a walk with a knight in the woods. It was funny. I told him, I have the cane. I may need more than I may need you to prop me up, you know, the walking stick because of the arthritis, but it was so funny. And they have an escape room for the Rogues Guild experience. They have like over 50 vendors, all different kinds of acts going on. I love when they have the Shakespearean comedy act with these women are amazing. They have magicians. They had a very young, lit young thing doing belly dancing. That was unbelievable. She was using swords even. We were all amazed. It was unbelievable. The food is excellent. It's not the typical. I mean, they do have the turkey legs, but they're cooked really well. But fresh squeezed lemonade, some natural products as well. Whereas if you go to some of the other rent fairs, the choices are very limited, and I hate to say it, but very commercial, horrible food. And that wasn't the case here. You had choices. Large area to walk around. I suggest you pace yourself because there's just so many things to see. And as you enter, you're given a calendar very easily read with all the locations and all the activities, and they are repeated. So it's not like once and done. So if you miss the singing, which is mind-blowing, James has his wife's relatives come from California. They are operatically trained. The niece is amazing. She sings madrigals. This young girl who's trained in opera. Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And all of this is included. There are no extra fees to do these, to see these things, like at a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'd have to buy extra tickets to see the jousting or singing or whatever. They have a serene area where you can work with corn stacking. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I go there, I always say, well, I don't know if I can do this. And I had extenuating circumstances this year, and I still was there for over 3 hours, 3.5 hours, because you can pace yourself, and there are areas to sit. A lot of places you go to, whether it be the fairgrounds in Sussex County or Tuxedo, New York's Ren Fair, there is nowhere to sit. So you're constantly having to move, and it gets to be a bit much if you're paying, you know, in some of these cases, $35 a ticket. You're going there. There's really nothing much to eat, and then no place to sit. It's horrendous. So I'm very appreciative to James. Every year he makes changes to accommodate people. There are many activities for adults. There are many activities for children. I like the fact that the vendors are not companies but individual artists.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying from them directly. Very, very enjoyable. And if anybody's interested in becoming a volunteer, they actually have a general volunteer form on their Facebook page. And you can go look and read about more of the activities and see the beautiful pictures, because they are stunning. So I'm looking forward to going again this weekend. That's how good it is.
It sounds fantastic, and I haven't been to a Ren Fair in a very, 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 very long time, decades. But I remember in Sterling, New York, the New York Renaissance Festival. I've been there a few times, and Athena's brother worked there for a few of their seasons. I believe he was a manager. So I heard a lot of stories of like behind the scenes, but I'm glad that he's succeeding, and I'm glad that he's accommodating the people who go there, because I remember some of the Renaissance festivals we went to, they were uncomfortable. And as you said, there wasn't really a place to sit. The food wasn't
right.
That great. He's created a better experience.
Most definitely. And he does things throughout the year. I mean, with the pandemic, he was forced to survive. And what he did was have weddings, have theme weddings, parties there. I talked to him a little bit about extending it, and that was the fact that I had a little bit of a scare a few weeks ago where I ended up in the emergency room, and I'm very glad I went because women experience heart attacks very differently from men. It's basically indigestion and back pain. And a pressure on the chest, but more like indigestion. And I decided not to wait after 2 hours and went. And thankfully, I was, I had a catheterization, and they suctioned out a clot in the ventricle, and they put a stent in. So, I mean, I'm very, very grateful that I paid attention to my body. And listeners, all of our females, just don't assume it's indigestion. After you've done a few things, get yourself to the ER ASAP. But I started thinking about all the things that we say we're going to put off, and we do, put off. And I made a decision. I had talked to King James about having a life celebration there. And my intent is, once he has a restful moment after his Renaissance fair, maybe in a month or so, sitting down and planning a life celebration there, so that when I do vacate this body, I want something different. And I've heard this from other people as well. You know, they just don't want a funeral parlor. They just don't want to go into a cemetery. They want something, but they just don't know what. And being there, I said to myself, what better place is there to bring together friends and family? It doesn't have to be the actual moment. I'm probably going to be cremated. So, have these ashes, dealt with it a certain way. James said I could have a little boat with my ashes and flaming arches, and then these beautiful buildings that are like lodges.
Oh, Viking treatment. That's awesome.
Yes. I said, I want my Viking sword there. And he said, well, sure. And it's just a way to celebrate celebrate rather than to, you know, yeah, it's sad because you're physically not there, but you know what? Nothing. Nature rebounds, and looking at the trees and talking about autumn, it just continues. We continue. So I said, what a wild way to do it. So that's something I have on the back burner. Not to be morose, folks, but just to say that, you know, we are in transition, and sometimes little things jolt us and make us realize that we can't put up some things, and maybe it'd be nice to plan a few interesting things.
Looking at my life too, and again, there's whatever happens, there's less time before me than there was behind me, and I'm also really planning out things that I really want to do and devoting more time and energy. And coincidentally, I received an invitation to a wedding that's taking place at Camp Sacajawea later next month. Today in the mail.
Oh, how nice.
One of our hosts.
Oh, you'll have to take pictures. I would like to see it. Wonderful. And this weekend as well, there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Milford, which I consider part of this northwest corner, Milford, PA is only about 15, 20 minutes away from my area here. And you just get on 206, you keep driving, go over the Milford Bridge, and you're in Pikes County. And on the 16th and to the 18th, they are having a Milford Readers and Writers Festival. I think that's so fantastic. They will have, of course, free events all around Milford, PA, which is a historic town. But if anyone wants information, you can get tickets, and you can call up and get information as well. But go to MilfordReadersAndWriters.com. Individual tickets are $35. There are festival passes that are $175. It starts Friday night, the 16th, 7 to 9. And it says the gin game, Len Cario and Heather Summerhays Cario, Cash Bar opens at 6 p.m. That's the Milford Theater, the gin
mm-hmm.
game. Okay, so we're talking some interesting things here. Saturday, they have things like topics like what is American food, author cancellation and book banning, which I thought was interesting. Writing about rock and roll, this is a big one. It's Bob Guccione Jr., James Greer, and Sheila Weller, who is a very, very famous writer, rock and roll writer. And then we have conversations with Nelson DeMille and Alex DeMille. They have a private author's reception, Sci-Fi, Choose Your Reality, with Alex Schwartzman and a couple other people, and there's a moderation, The Future of YA in the Age of Book Banning, Sunday, Meet the Local Authors of Milford, Two Gentlemen of Milford, Secret City, Gay Washington, Coming Home, This Land Was Safe for You and Me, Campaign Against Lynching, Haunted History and Ghostwriting, and The Viral Underclass. There are ticket events and there are free events. So that's interesting. And that's 10 to 6 Saturday and 10 to 2 on Sunday. So Milford's amazing. It really is. There's so much going on there. I just love Milford, PA. And again, I consider it, I don't know if they'd like me to say that, but an extension of Sussex County, New Jersey. We're cousins, you know. We hold our hands across the bridge. That's how I like to think of it.
Yeah, I miss Milford. We went there with you to that ceremony where they released the butterflies. So I think that was last time.
Oh,
we
wasn't that beautiful? Yeah.
But when
yeah,
we lived in
Poconos,
there's a camp nearby Milford that is for, you know, folks who follow the old ways, and I was a speaker there a few times.
Wow.
And we started a metaphysical shop when we were in the area, and there was a comic book store, too, that I used to want to visit whenever we were in Milford. So I have fond memories of the place.
Oh, yeah, really. It's just an amazing place to go to. And then on the 16th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., there is a barn sale at Luscroft Farm. And that's a really beautiful place. Luscroft Farm is a lot of history there in terms of milking and you know, the cows, and it goes way, way back. Really interesting just to go there to see it in terms of the importance of this farm in agriculture in New Jersey is just fantastic. And they're having a fundraiser, many items for sale, to benefit restoration at the farm. It's located at 50 Nielsen Road in Wantage, and that's LusCorpFarm.org. 973-288-2760. I have very fond memories of that place. I've gone there often, and they have gardens there that they planted, Paul planted with children. There's one called the Full Moon Garden, that all these white plants that shine under the moon, and it's in a crescent, and a Native American circle, you know, of the different times of the year, the wheel of the different plants. Absolutely stunning. And antiques, and the buildings are stunning. And then September 17th, 1 to 7 p.m., they actually have an Oktoberfest. This has to be the first one. It's ages 21 and older, located at Skyland Stadium, which is 94 Championship Place in Augusta. $25 a head, and this is obviously with the, as there are 25 different types of beers, it's age 21 and older, live music, traditional German food, competitions, and again, as I said, more than 25 seasonal beers. So a lot going on, and that has to be the first Oktoberfest I'm aware of, because I know that Vernon has one later in October. There are quite a few Oktoberfests up here because the Germanic culture was very big up this way. Yeah. And then September 17th and 18th, again, 9 a.m., there is Observing Nature Inward and Outward, and that's for ages 12 to adult. It's with the New Jersey School of Conservation, which is at Stokes State Forest, and it's $99 a day, $149 for both days, but they're going to be doing so much with out in nature, you know, walks, nature photography, campfire activities, lessons on mindfulness techniques. So that sounds interesting. And the New Jersey School of Conservation is amazing. Stokes State Forest is absolutely beautiful. And if anyone's interested, you could contact them at 973-948-4646. And there's still more to come, Hercules.
Yes, always do.
Can you believe this weekend, September 18th, Sussex County Day at the fairgrounds in Augusta? Music, craft, and vendors. Doesn't say whether they're having a fee or not, so that I would suggest people call them, 973-579-1811, or just go onto the Sussex County Fairgrounds site. Check it out. That's from 12 noon to 4 p.m. So that's something else going on. Amazing, isn't it? And then as we're talking about this area, 206, going up 206, you see these different farms, and there's this road you turn onto that leads you to Luna Park, famous, made famous by the artist Ricky Boscarino. It's a private home, semi-private museum. He does have a three-day weekend open house, but you have to book the appointment because, you know, of course, with the pandemic, it changed things around. I advise our listeners, go to the site for Luna Park. It's L-U-N-A, second word, P-A-R-C. It is sculptural. It is mind-blowing. You have not seen anything like this house. He is an artist. He gets into ceramics. He does metal work. He does jewelry. The fence even is made by him. It's just unbelievable. And Ricky Boscarino is going to be he's always at Peters Valley Craft Fair. That's the end of September, the 24th to the 25th. It is unbelievable. I love Peters Valley Craft Fair. First of all, what it does is it celebrates artisans. Peters Valley School of Crafts is amazing. It's absolutely beautiful. It is a place in the middle of the woods around Layton, and they have classes there in ceramics, drawing, painting, fiber, metalsmithing. I mean, they do everything, wood turning. It's absolutely stunning. And I look forward to this event when they have it at the fair because you see so many different aspects of art, whether it be wood furniture, whether it be spoons or woodwork and turnings, natural foods, natural beauty products, sculpture, printmaking, which was one of the things that I used to do besides sculpture, photography, paper products, mixed media, metal, leather. Oh, the leather is beyond belief. And, of course, jewelry and stained glass. Besides, you know, the 2D work, we have, like, different craft items as well. So it's not just one type of art. That's $10 at the door. It's from 10 to 5 p.m., www.petersvalley.org, and 973-948-5200. So I am looking forward to that. I really am. And then there's September.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the September Fest going back up to Milford on the 24th, hosted by Milford Presents. And that it's different crafts and food all over town. They basically shut the main road on Broad Street. You can go to www.milfordpa.us or just go to the, you know, Milford Arts or any of the different things, the Chamber of Commerce. There's so much going on there in Milford. So that's nice to know.
Now, when we first started this show, the point was, number one, that you could positive or negatively focus your attention. And the traditional news has nothing but horrible things that are happening in the world or in your neighborhood. And
right.
this show is like a counter to that, like to focus on how many wonderful things are happening in your neighborhood. And
right.
If you start looking for all the wonderful things that are happening, the world becomes a more wonderful place in your consciousness and therefore in your reality, because you're not totally focusing on the negative. Your indignation is not being fed continuously. So this show is fantastic because in Sussex County, which again is not heavily populated, and it's politically, it's a stronghold for folks who aren't really into the same type of things that we're into. And yet, there's so many things to do there that it's amazing. And it never stops. Every time you have a show, it's continuous.
No.
Continuous resources.
Exactly. And something that people, I'm sure there are folks that are aware of it, but Sussex County's history is rich in the unique mineral makeup. We are known for mines up here. It's amazing. The mines up here are beyond belief. There is the Ogdensburg and Franklin Mineralogical Society up here. Big, rich mining history dating back to the 1700s when the Dutch first mined for copper. And then there was the great iron ore deposits that were discovered in the hills. And then, you know, all the different stones, my gosh, you know, it was amazing. So, I mean, zinc, and there was also a different other abundance of other minerals. Very, very significantly geological mineral deposits within the earth. So all the geologists and mineralists and scientists from around the earth have come here to study the collections. And I just think that's just so interesting. And I've done that with, you know, my child when he was young. I've done it with kids at school when we were older because kids are so fascinated with crystals and mines. Mm-hmm. And you have the Sterling Hill Mining Museum and you have the Ogdensburg area. I mean, it's amazing. So that's something else to consider up here that's done all the time. And we have a very famous local band called From Good Homes. They are going to have a reunion concert in the fields of Waterloo, which is in Hackettstown. But tomorrow, the Lake Mohawk Country Club will be screening the feature documentary, Charlie Loves Our Band, the story of From Good Homes. And I think that's so wonderful because here they're celebrating this local band who have their roots in this area. They're going to play their annual reunion concert at the fields in Waterloo. at tickets, I think, are $40 for the movie screening. But this is so wonderful because this band travels all throughout the world, yet they return back to northern New Jersey. And this is interesting. So the tickets for the documentary screening, probably can still purchase them, are on Eventbrite at the following link, bit.ly/fromgoodhomesdoc. And more information can be found at the film website, charlielovesourband.com. That's a story. So, you know, again, the celebration of what's happening out there in nature and the celebration that happens within us is just so amazing. And it's a time for transformation, you know, and to enjoy these things before we kind of, you know, fold in within ourselves. The last thing I want to mention, I'm not going to go into the Black Bear Film Festival because that's in mid-October, and
that's
there's so much history on that that would take half a show to begin with. But I do want to mention that the very first day of October, which is a Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m., there is a barn dance at Peter's Europa House in Jehola, PA. Now, those that know me, no, I have interviewed the chef, Peter,
yes,
who is trained in Austria, and his restaurant is beyond belief. It is the best I have ever been to anywhere in the world. The quality of the food, the quality of the cooking, unbelievable. But this is a fundraiser. It is dinner followed by dancing and live music, $75 to benefit a group called Gate Therapeutic Writing Center, G-A-I-T, and Gate/ACE Endowment Fund. And I'm thinking to myself, Peter only is involved with doing benefits and allowing benefits there if it's something that is so dear to his heart, and usually it's children. You know, I know he did a lot with the Mickey D's group where he would shut the restaurant and have that during the pandemic. Unfortunately, he couldn't. But he does a lot with children and people with disabilities. And I looked into this Gate Therapeutic Writing Center. It's centered in Milford, PA again. Amazing. And you can contact them, 717-991-3478, or go to Advisory Council at Gate, well, this is unbelievable, GAITTRCORG. Anyway, they're very involved. It's equestrian, it's equine, but their mission statement is to improve the quality of life of special needs children and adults through equine activities and therapies, resulting in a more independent life in society. You know, giving confidence to others and helping them. Oh, God, I just was so touched by this. And I looked at some of the different things that they had there. I have to pull this up again because I just was just so amazed. Gate Milford, here it is. It's a writing center, and they have lots of services. And they open at 9 a.m., and they're established so people could have their needs addressed and be aided with activities. I thought it was so wonderful. They do have a Facebook page, so you can go to that. It's Gate Therapeutic Writing Center. The pictures are absolutely beautiful. They are given 5 stars, and I thought that was great. They have professional and dedicated staff. And I want to look and see some of the activities they have here. All right. It started in 1995. And it has, they serve, the majority of people served had physical, cognitive, and behavioral impairments that impacted their freedom of movement and ability to connect with others. They have evolved, and they are now a PATH International Premier Accredited Center. Serves over 200 people annually, including veterans, first responders with PTSD, families in need of support, individuals struggling with mental health, cancer survivors, at-risk youth, seniors, and children and adults with physical, cognitive, or emotional disability. Wow.
That is great, and we can never have enough service organizations. In fact, this month on the 26th, which is a Monday, I'm launching a new show called The Age of Heroes, Path of Public Service. And it's going to start with the mayor of my town. Then we're going to have the president of the Rotary, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, the president of the council, and a lot of politicians from different levels and people who provide services like the ones that you described today. And we're starting locally because I'm local. It basically is easier for me to do, and I'm involved with
sure.
what's going on here. But eventually I plan on widening the circle. So you're definitely going to be my point person in Sussex County and in and around Milford, Pennsylvania, because you're very familiar with those areas.
Right, right. And again, it's just a matter of accessing the information, and we're here to pass it along. We're not telling you it's something you should do. We're just saying if you have an interest in one of these things, check it out, that people have put things together to benefit us during our transition. And, you know, just to take a ride up here when you know, the foliage starts changing, there's so many areas, and you could just go to Sussex County and online and Google it and see, you know, put in specific activities you're interested in, whether it be hiking, whether it be bringing your children to the farms, whether it be, you know, the local stands and the particular food that they have. The activities of the hay rides, pumpkin picking, and it's just always so beautiful. I remember doing this with a friend of mine when her son Justin was little, and my Jesse was small, and going up to Anderson Farms and going on the hay rides and searching for the picnic and having the little haunted house and seeing, why can't I think of his name, this wild comedian that was there. And it was just, we had such a great time. And yeah, there's different plants you can buy. It's multi-sensory. It's probably the best way to say it. Everything is multi-sensory. It's not just one aspect of your senses. You know,
I'm losing you, Astrid. We're losing the sound.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I got to face the mountains, you know, the one area of the mountain. We only have the one particular tower over here. It's the way it is. It'll be much easier once the trees drop their leaves, although I will be quite sad to see that happen. But that is one aspect that gets better when the leaves drop. But, yeah, it's just multisensory, and it's just so enjoyable. And I have
that,
to say, what a...
On that note,
my favorite.
We have less than 2 minutes, and do you still want people to contact you through me, or would you like to give some
yes, until I can get my act together here with the site, because now I'm focusing on some other issues, but I will, and there's also something called Alignable that has all the different activities and businesses up here, which, you know, tells you different things going on up here, and besides that, we have the Journal magazine, which is free. Which goes through all the different details of arts, and it's, you know, serves Sparta, it serves Milford, PA, and the other areas around here, and the Strauss News, that's a free newspaper. That's amazing. It's called the Township Journal newspaper. They have tons of things going on, and there you can go to them, and if you have an event that you'd like to promote, can contact either one as well.
Thank you so much, Astrid. I'm glad you're still with us. You're a walking advocacy for positive things going on in your neck of the woods and beyond. And I'm very grateful that we're able to connect today and have this conversation. Until next time, to all who listen, if you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, if you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be listening to us later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Again, thanks again, Astrid.
And thank you for setting this up.
Be well.
Be well.